Hey mamas, I'm Alyssa, registered dietitian, picky eating specialist, and mama of two. You're listening to the Nutrition for Littles podcast, aimed at helping you raise healthy, independent eaters. Each week, we will tackle topics like picky eating, mealtime struggles, baby-led weaning, and so much more. Let's jump right into today's topic. Hey, 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 and welcome to today's podcast. I'm doing something a little unique today. I'm actually going to put myself back in my own shoes. And that is, if you are new around here, that not so long ago, I had a very picky eater in my home. And this picky eater was single-handedly the reason why my entire career changed course. Now, I was a dietitian before this, but once I had this picky eater and I knew something needed to change and I changed it and I reversed this picky eating, I really dove headfirst into teaching other families how to do the same because I felt so alone, so frustrated, so just baffled and just in despair almost, I would say, with his eating. I felt so frustrated. I felt like I was just throwing in the towel left and right, just couldn't make anything change. And at the time, I was feeling so frustrated because I was a dietitian. I knew how important nutrition was, and I was watching him just eat bread. So a girlfriend of mine actually taught me a term that I'm sure you've heard before, but it totally astounded me and made me laugh, where she called her daughter a breaditarian. And I was laughing because I was like, oh, that is what my son was. He just loved bread. And there was also a period of time in there where he would only eat bread or fruit. So bread-a-fruitarian, I don't know what you'd call that. But I just remember it so vividly. And while I have now since had two more children who have gone through very real picky eating phases and rejecting food, I want to reflect a little bit on the differences. Because with your first, everything is new. You're learning so many things. And it can feel a little overwhelming with all the things you have to learn. I mean, it's a total life change, right? And so I'm dealing with this 2.5-year-old who's very strong, very opinionated, very strong-willed, very smart, very bright kid, which doesn't always work in my favor, unfortunately. But I love it. I love it about him. I love who he is. And something that I remember of this time of life was how much I dreaded mealtime. And I was actually recently talking on a podcast about how I didn't realize it at the time, but essentially I had this picture in my head of what mealtimes were going to look like as a family. Like I remember deciding to want to have kids, to being pregnant, to having a newborn, to having, you know, a baby who was starting solids. And I was just so excited for the future of family meals. They're really important to me. I love to cook. I love to eat. I love to spend time around the dinner table with my friends and my family. I love to host. Just love good food and good people. And I had, like, kind of unbeknownst to me or subconsciously drawn this picture of what I thought family meals were going to look like in our home. And when my son started to get picky, you may not know my story, but when he started to get picky around 2.5-ish and he started dropping foods and being more difficult to feed, and I felt really stressed about, well, I want him eating. I know how important nutrition is. Remember, not a dietitian for picky eating yet. I was really in this place of frustration. And, you know, for some parents, it comes out as worry, stress, anxiety, you know, sadness. Mine really came out as anger. Like, if I'm being completely honest, I really was frustrated. I was like, man, I aced this test in college. I should know what to do. I was angry with myself. I was angry with him. I felt really frustrated by watching food go to waste. I felt really frustrated with all the time, energy, money, mental space that went into buying food, preparing food, cooking food, taking inventory of food, serving food, you know, sitting at the table and just watching him not eat it made me so frustrated. And I just remember the meals felt so hard, where it got to the point where I was like, well, should I just make him something I know he'll eat? Like, at least he's eating, right? Like, at least he'll eat something if I just feed him something I know that he likes. And so I started doing that for a while. And this is kind of the same time where, although I loved the job that I was doing, I was ready to kind of move on. And at the time, my favorite part of my job, when I look back onto it, for those of you who don't know, I was a tube feeding dietitian, which means I helped patients who couldn't eat by mouth, who had to use a tube directly into their stomach or whatnot, to get their nutrition.
and I loved my job. But my favorite part of my job was when people came off the tube or moved from tube feeding to eating by mouth again. It was the favorite part of my job, especially with kids, but it was also really intriguing and helpful in my now today career, because at the time I realized that there's actually a lot of similarities with these patients who have never eaten by anything by mouth. It feels really foreign to them, feels really weird. And, or maybe they've even gone weeks, months, or years without eating by mouth and they have to do it again. And it's very surprising. So it's a really cool experience. But that being said, kind of at the time, I'm juggling a lot of things, right? I've got this full-time job that I knew I wanted to move on from. I've got my son who's starting to get pickier and pickier. And then I'm a dietitian and I know how important nutrition is. I'm getting all this messaging as a new mom, learning how important these first 10 years of development are for these kids, wanting to be there for all the small moments, wanting to, you know, optimize his time to like maximize everything he's learning. Like I turned every game that we played into a learning opportunity. I read every book in the way that all the experts say to read the books. I, you know, modeled what I was doing all the time with him. I, you know, pushed him to kind of like learn how to crawl and then learn how to walk and then learn how to talk and like all these things, right? Like I was so like directly involved with every single moment of his learning. And really it's easier to do with one kid. It kind of feels more natural now that I have multiple kids. We're all working on these things all the time with each other. And it's just, you know, it's a different dynamic. So back to kind of my point, I had all these things kind of going on. Meanwhile, he's getting pickier and pickier. I'm getting less and less excited about family meals. Again, I have this like subconscious picture of what family meals were supposed to be like and then what they were actually like. What they were actually like made me feel, yeah, worry, frustration, despair, like just this dread of like, this isn't even going to work. Like he's not going to eat this food. Why would I spend money or time on it? Got really tempting, and we definitely did for periods of time. Feed him whatever, you know, whatever kid food or leftovers or something really, really easy, quesadillas, something like that, and then put him to bed. And then my husband and I would eat after he went to bed. And this went on for a little bit while kind of I was talking to this podcast host about like everyone has different values in their family. Like what's important to you? What do you prioritize with your time or with your money, with your energy? What's most important? And I knew what was most important to me, but yet in real life, it wasn't kind of like adding up. Like if you watched my life, you wouldn't know that those are my most important values. Family time, family dinners, connection, like joyfulness, like having funny conversations and making jokes and like just like having a good time, right, with my family. But in reality, our mealtimes were like rushed, stressed, power struggles, negotiations, back and forths, convincing, cajoling, bribery, like all of these things. And then I also felt like I could never make a mistake. Like I never wanted to introduce him to a food that I didn't want him to like be obsessed with. So I was like, well, I'm never going to introduce you to like chips, or I'm never going to introduce you to like candy or sweets or sugars or anything like this. Like you're just going to get obsessed with them, because I knew that he was already prone to being picky. So we didn't go out to ice cream very often. We didn't have fun foods in the house. It was all like, well, if you're going to eat, you know, nutritious food, or if I want you to eat nutritious food, that's the only food that I should expose you to, because you're already prone to being picky. So we just had like a lot of rules around everything. And while that is important to have structure and boundaries, it also did not make for a very joyful family time experience. And I was just like swirling in these thoughts of like, man, there's got to be a different way to get my kid to eat more foods and enjoy the way that I get him to do that and actually start enjoying meals together. So that was kind of like the, I don't know, catalyst that started this entire career. And I just want to reiterate or talk about some of the tactics that I was doing, because I think a lot of us can relate, because it starts off really small, right? Like I cared so much about my child's development, his health, all of these things that I knew was tied to his nutrition. I cared so much about it that I would do anything to get him to eat. You see, I had this picture in my head of how he ate, how we enjoyed meals together, all of these sorts of things. And when real life didn't live up to that picture, I started to do things to get him to be more like the picture of him or our family that I had in mind. And so this is where things started to take a turn towards that bribery, demanding, pleading, begging, praising, negotiating, power struggle situation would come in. You know, just take three more bites, finish your plate. Have you tried it yet? How do you know you don't like it? You know, conversations like this, sneaking veggies in, hoping he won't notice. all of these things started to take hold in our home. And at the time, I would have told you, man, I'm trying everything. Like, I'm doing all these different things to try and get him to eat. You know, we tell him he has to take a bite. We negotiate with him. We have conversations about how important nutrition is. We have a sticker chart or a praise chart or whatever it might be. You know, I would have said, I'm trying everything and it's still not working. And what I've come to realize now, years into my career now, is a lot of times parents think they've tried everything and what they've really done is one thing. It's just wrapped in different wrapping paper. That one thing is pressure. It's using pressure to get our kids to eat. The bribing, begging, pleading, negotiating, praising, all of those things are actually the same tactic. They're all using a strategy called pressure. It's just wrapped slightly differently. And that was me. I was using pressure. And what I didn't realize at the time was that that pressure, although it might have quote unquote worked in the moment, he had three more bites of chicken or he ate his broccoli or he cleaned his plate, long term, it was digging us a bigger hole to get out of. And the more and more I do this work, the more and more I post about it online, the more and more stories that I collect of parents who say, man, I really thought my kid would grow out of it. I really thought, you know, things would go differently. Everyone told me they'd grow out of it. It was just a phase. I wish I would have found you years ago because now I have a really picky teenager. Now I have a really picky adult who lives in my home. You know, maybe I'm the picky one. My husband's the picky one. And I think we do moms such a disservice by saying that this is just a phase and it'll pass because meanwhile, while we're waiting for it to pass, we love them and we want them to eat and we want them to have some semblance of nutrition and energy so that they can grow and develop during these really important years, which is also the messaging we get. And so, of course, we make them a separate meal or we use this pressure technique or we just make them whatever they want because at least they're eating. And what we don't realize is that we're unintentionally making it way worse on us and on them. We're literally limiting their exposure to new foods, their ability. We're basically also like subconsciously telling them that like you can't handle trying something new. You can't handle having something new on your plate. You can't handle that. And so we're also like subconsciously telling them we don't trust them. And I know that sounds like kind of like maybe a little dramatic, but it truly is the way that our children's nervous system reads. When we make them a separate meal, when we make them special food, when we call them picky, tell them they can't try that, they're not going to like that, we are subconsciously, inadvertently telling them that they're not strong enough to try new things. And I wish I would have known all this. I wish I would have known this. I wish I would have known that picky eating doesn't just go away on its own. I wish I would have known that parents inadvertently make things harder and have it last longer. I wish that I was told and parents are told that it's not their fault their kid is picky and they are perfectly positioned to help their kid reverse picky eating. These are all things that, man, I just wish I knew back then because I was beating myself up left, right, and sideways. I was quote unquote trying new things, which was all the same thing. And I didn't really understand what made picky eating happen. I thought it was the problem that every kid dealt with. I thought it was normal, but what I found out is just because it's common doesn't mean it's normal. This is not, you know, children are not meant to only eat four foods, even up to 30 foods. They really need over 100 different foods a week in order to support a healthy gut microbiome. So I just remember being so desperate to get him to eat anything else. I would get super worried. And again, that would come out as anger and frustration. There was a lot of guilt that was happening at the table, guilty that he wasn't eating more foods, guilty that I was just feeding him whatever he would eat, guilty that he wasn't sitting and eating meals with us, guilty about the way that I treated him or the parenting techniques I used on him to get him to eat. Didn't really feel good about that, right? I was negotiating with this toddler. I was sneaking things in behind his back. I just didn't feel super great about that. It wasn't lining up with my values as a mom. And I knew really that these years are so important to him, but the tactics that I was doing, even though I was doing them out of a place of love, it was kind of like, essentially I was winning the battles, but I was losing the war and I didn't feel good about how I did it. And so I felt really kind of disconnected from him. And at the time I didn't realize it, but we had a lot of other issues that eventually actually, once we reversed picky eating, cleared up. Things like really big mood swings and tantrums that are not like the normal toddler tantrums. These are like bigger, last longer, seem to like hold on forever. Again, he's a strong-willed, smart, bright kid. And that side of him really flared up when he wasn't getting the nutrition that he needed, both energy-wise, but also micro and macronutrients. So we saw that happen. We saw poor focus. He wasn't able to focus on things. Even when we would teach him stuff, he wasn't paying attention. We had constant sicknesses running through our home. My husband and I just talked about, knock on wood, that our kids rarely get sick. I mean, they get sick. Every kid is gets sick, but it is pretty few and far between. And that was a big issue in our home, especially when he was little. And so I knew that I had to do something different at the time because what I was doing wasn't working, and doing just more of that was leading to more disconnection, more frustration, more worry, and making picky eating last longer. So I really think that I wish someone took me by the hand gently and told me, hey, what you're doing because you love him and I know you love him so much is actually making this worse, not better. All those pressure tactics you're using, I get it. Like, it feels like a win because you got them to eat the chicken tonight, but you're not getting them to eat the chicken for the right reasons, and it's not going to stick. And that's the thing where I realized with any of the pressure tactics, I just had to like up my ante. Like, okay, you know, tonight you can have dessert if you eat 3 bites of chicken, and then tomorrow it's just 2 bites of chicken. And then by the end of the week, it's like, just look at the chicken. Just look at the chicken and I'll give you dessert, right? Those pressure tactics really weren't leading to something bigger and better, wasn't intrinsically motivating him to eat. It was A, for my benefit, or, you know, fear of getting in trouble or not getting something that he really wanted. It wasn't really about eating the food. So I just knew that something had to change. And so I really took a brand new approach. Okay. We had no more pressure tactics, no more. We actually were able to create a dynamic where I was in charge of what I was in charge of, and he was in charge of what he was in charge of. And I empowered him and subconsciously shared with him that I trusted him. And it took time and it took effort. But now, you know, like I said, I've had 2 kids after him. And any time that a picky eating phase or a problem pops up, we nip it in the bud so fast. Like, it's immediately like, okay, we know exactly what to do and we work towards it. And then that phase ends pretty quickly. I would say probably less than 2 weeks for most things. There have been a few more stubborn foods with my youngest who, eggs have been a food for him that has hit or miss for a long time, but he would have maybe longer phases of not eating them, but now he's eating them great. And again, it's like, it was a little frustrating, but I would stay the course. It's like, okay, well, I know how to get you to eat eggs. And then eventually he would, and he does now eat eggs. And so that's been like in a really incredible moment of just knowing, A, he isn't limited on his diet, even though he wasn't eating eggs, but we were able to get him to eat eggs using all these strategies. But I think like the biggest thing that I look back on that I feel sad about for the first year or two, year and a half ish of picky eating, that I, when I wasn't really addressing it or working towards it, was the opportunities that I missed to connect with my son around the table and really recognize that there was a way that I could reverse his picky eating and feel good about how I was doing it. No guilt, like literally did not feel bad for anything I was doing, but I was able to work with him and actually connect with him and then start to have those family meals that I thought at one point were completely unrealistic. Like we really do laugh around the dinner table. We have fun around the dinner table. We share our highs and lows. We try new foods. We experience different cultures together. And it's just so much more fun. And it's so validating to know that, like, yes, picky eating was the problem that caused us to have so much strife in our family eating dinner time routine. And so once we can weed that out and reverse it, I just think that it's so helpful. Like, it doesn't, picky eating does not have to be your normal, right? There is a way for us to get them on the same page and work with them. And so I just wish that someone would have told me that. I think I would have saved me months of heartbreak and frustration and anger and worry and just finding a way that can work with my kid. So I hope this episode has been helpful for you in gaining some clarity of maybe where you're at with your child, what's actually going on, what's the picture you have in your head that things aren't living up to. What are the emotions that come up for you parenting a picky eater? Because it's not easy. It's not for the faint of heart. I can tell you that much. They really put you through some trials. You know, eating is one of those things that it's a basic need and you can't force them to do it. And so it's so helpful to have the skills and the wherewithal to know how to work with your kid to do to kind of achieve that picture you have of your head. And I think the answer is don't give up on the image you have in your head about how your kid eats and how you guys experience meal times together. If that's something you have kind of lingering in your brain somewhere, I know it took me a minute to become more aware that that's what was happening, but don't give up on it. You know, I think it is possible for you. And I really want to see you achieve that because it is really life-changing. And it's not just about you or your kid or even your family. It's like, this is generational to experience these kind of heartwarming, fun moments at the table. And I think that it can be really, really powerful. So I hope this episode was helpful. I'm going to link a few helpful resources down in the description box if you want to take this one step further. I would love to provide you with some places to do that with. Otherwise, I will tune in with you next week for a brand new episode. I'll see you then. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I hope you're walking away with some tangible ways to bring peace to your mealtimes. And if you like this episode, please subscribe and tell all your mom friends. And as always, the best compliment you can give me is leaving a rating and written review, which also helps other mamas like you find this podcast too. You can find more from me on Instagram at Nutrition for Littles. Do you have a question you'd like me to answer on the podcast? Email me at Alyssa@nutritionforlittles.com. All right, until next time, mamas.